Lose the Cape Podcast, episode 74.
Hey, boss ladies, I'm Alexa Bigwarf, and I'm the founder of Cat Biggie Press and Write Publish Sell. I help women fulfill their book writing dreams through author coaching and publishing support. You can find out more at writepublishsell.co.
Hey, y'all, I'm Aubrey Mathis, owner and founder of Today May Suck, a comfort gift company for your peeps going through the suckiest of times. I also help moms get off the couch and into some heels, create a biz they love, and live a life unpinned. For more information, visit aubreymathis.com.
Together, we bring you real talk from life-experienced women, celebrating, empowering, and encouraging the woman behind the kids, the marriage, and the business. We know that you don't have to be supermom to be a supermom, so join us and lose the cape.
Welcome back to another episode of the Lose the Cape podcast, where we interview busy moms and try to pick their brain to find out how they are surviving the struggle of the juggle. I'm Alexa Bigwarf, your co-host with my co-host, Aubrey Mathis.
Still hello. Getting
used to spitting all of that out at one time. And we are really happy to interview Erin Montgomery this morning. She is the speaker, writer, and social media pro who heads up Piper Social Media. She lives in the small town of Hamilton outside of Toronto, a Canadian, and she's helped local businesses expand their reach and their presence online. She loves to work with driven online creatives, and she has over 10 years of experience helping people to grow their businesses through a method of target customized content on all platforms. She has two small children and balances not only her business and her children, but also many after school activities, as we can all appreciate. Thank you, Erin, for being with us today.
Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, so I'm not making fun of you being a Canadian. In fact, I have Canada envy these days, so. But we don't get political here. I was gonna say. Yeah, how are you?
I'm doing well. We're currently experiencing an ice storm, so it's not that great right here right now, but
Well, I was just telling Alexa, because I live in Central Texas, so it was like 87 yesterday, and it's supposed to be like 87 today, which means it will probably snow in April here, because Texas is like the woman of weather. It's going to change from one day to another.
I have heard Texas described as a lot of things, but never the woman of weather. That's hilarious.
It's very emotional here.
Oh my gosh. So Erin, tell us a little bit more about yourself. How did you wind up starting your own business and in particular getting into this line of business?
I was working corporately for a chain of beauty bars doing their social media and their PR outreach. And it was like 12, 14 hours a day out of the house. And with two kids, it's just was not possible anymore. So I literally quit my job and a week later started my own business. I did it kind of on a whim with no planning, which was probably not the best idea looking back. But, you know, it got me to where I am now. So it's been so far so good.
Apparently it worked. So you just keep charging forward. Well, that's pretty amazing. How old were your kids at that point?
They were 3 and 5 when I did that.
Ooh.
Yeah.
So not in school yet.
Yeah. So
they were in school.
My youngest, the 3-year-old, wasn't, but my daughter was in senior kindergarten full day.
Oh, well, that helps, because I have a 10 and a 5-year-old, and they just both started school this year. And it's been amazing. It's amazing what you can do during the day. Yeah,
my youngest just started in September, so they're both gone now all day, which is nice.
Yes. You said they're involved in a lot of extra activities.
Oh, tons. My daughter is competitive dance is her thing. So I feel like we are at the studio like every day almost between, you know, she dances probably 4 to 5 hours a week. And then there's costume fittings and extra practices or special camps she has to attend. So it's all over. And then she's also into singing and she does Girl Guides. So she's
gone
almost every day.
I have to say, I mean, I definitely would have supported my daughter if she decided to go that way. But the day that she told me she no longer wanted to do dance was one of the happiest days of my life. And now
I don't blame you.
And now watching all the other moms with like 3, 4, 5 rehearsals a week and like all the stuff you just described, I'm like, oh my gosh, I am far too lazy for that. No. Yeah. Oh my gosh, that's funny.
Well, Erin, with all those activities, do you find yourself working like as she's practicing, or do you fully focus on that practice? Because sometimes at a practice, I'll get on my phone to send an email or something, and the mom guilt creeps in, but you have to do it. So do you balance that, or how do you balance that?
So for the competitive dance, we're not allowed to watch. They close the blinds. So It works out that I can hop on a call or respond to an email. My son is in karate and soccer, so sometimes they overlap. So it really just depends on the day of the week and where I have to be. But for the most part, we're not allowed to watch anything. So
wow.
Pretty easy to do the quick email when she's doing dance because she can't see me.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, well, we have a lot of mom entrepreneurs in our listening audience. So I do definitely want to talk about your business and what you do and how you help people grow their social media. So feel free to just blast us with your knowledge.
We do everything from your daily posting, all of your content creation, graphic creation, social media advertising, blog writing, newsletters, basically anything you would need for an online presence, we would cover. And then we kind of work with you to determine what your goals are for social media, where you want to be, and how we're going to get you there. So also creating that strategy for you and implementing it. We work with you on at least a 4-month basis, because you don't really start to see results from social media until about 3 months in. So we like to have a 3 to 4 month contract so that we can get you those results and you can see how it's working and what it does for you. So we really try to take away something, like take something off your plate, so you have a little more time to focus on growing your business, and maybe you have that extra time to spend with your family. So for us, it's being able to take one thing away so that you have an extra couple hours, few hours a week to focus on something else.
I think that you made a really excellent point, because I help authors launch their books, and we do social media for them as well. And you hit it right on the head. And that is that so many people expect that like within 1 week of hiring a social media manager, they're going to have like 10,000 new followers and, through the roof, all this stuff. And you're so right. It's that consistency and that time. How do you help set the expectations for people so that they're not like down your throat all the time? It's been 2 weeks. How come I've only gotten 10 new followers or whatever?
The expectation is set right in the beginning before the contract is even signed, because I don't want people to, like you said, come on and think that they're going to get a million followers in 2 weeks, because it just doesn't work like that.
Right.
So it's right away I tell them, you got to give this at least 2 to 3 months to start working for you, and then those results will start coming in, because people need to see the same thing over and over again before they start responding to it.
Absolutely.
So it's just reminding them that it's not a quick overnight fix. It's something that's going to take a couple months to get going. But once it starts to grow, it'll grow continuously and it'll get larger over time. Mm-hmm. Sorry.
Oh, pause there. I give the disclaimer, Aubrey and I have only been co-hosting for 2 weeks. So this is only our third round of interviews together. So sometimes it's kind of like, okay, who's going to pop in there?
And I was kind of lost in Instagram actually in the moment, because I had a girl trying to help me out with my Instagram, and she was, she's an intern from a local college, and I was not checking in on the Instagram, and she was just using random hashtags, and she's like, well, look how many people I have following you now. I was like, these people, looked at their profiles now? I don't, like it would be a picture of a mug and somebody would comment, nice hustle. And I'm like, no, it's a mug. I don't.
But we were talking about this. Who was I talking about it with? With some of the ladies from that went to the Boss Mom retreat, and that now with like the auto replyers, you never know what someone's going to reply to your thing. So you can tell who's not genuinely looking at
you can
post.
Tell.
And just, it's like, they say, I love waffles. And it's a post about how sad you are that you your mom died yes. 5 years ago on that day. I was like,
okay. Nice hustle.
Nice hustle.
Thanks. Yes.
Oh my gosh. Well, I had a similar experience on my own Instagram because I started posting pictures of my dog and doing the dogs of Instagram. And I swear to you, there was a point when I had more dogs following me on Instagram than humans. So yes, those hashtags are important.
Yeah.
Yeah, they are.
Oh my
gosh. Is there
gosh.
Any advice for someone looking for someone to help that's not, they're not just going to be like, well, look how many people, you know, are there keywords that we should listen for when hiring a social media?
I would say definitely interview, have a Skype call, because the best way for you to figure out if you guys work well together is to talk face to face. You know, sometimes it's not always possible depending on where that person is, but even jumping on Skype and seeing them and chatting with them, you'll know right away if you kind of vibe and have that feeling together. And then another thing is to ask for samples or testimonials from past clients, ask to check out their current work if there's current clients they're working with, just to get an understanding of if they're doing well for their other clients, if the, you know, their branding is all matching with all the other clients, if everything looks okay. And, you know, I wouldn't be afraid. I think the biggest thing people need to realize that for me personally, I didn't go to school for social media. This is not something that I graduated school from. So even when I'm hiring part-time people to work for me, I don't necessarily look for someone who has this big, huge social media degree or something like that, because it's not necessarily about that. Social media is definitely something you can learn without going to school. So I think it's learning from just looking at their past experiences and, you know, what they've done before and what they're currently doing, and not necessarily looking at a whole educational background, because it's not necessarily going to help them in any way.
Oh, that's great advice.
And that's an interesting point about the education too, because we interviewed Carrie Sharp, who, well, anyway, doesn't, I won't go into all that detail, but she was talking about how her son is so technically proficient and all this stuff. And for the first time, like, she's not worried about whether he goes to college or not, because the world is just, it's just different now in terms of experience versus education and being able to bring somebody a skill without necessarily. So I that was a very long sentence to say, I agree with you, you know, education, the degrees and the courses and everything may not, but track record. Yeah. And that's something that I would put out there, is asking to see maybe some of the clients that they've worked with in the past and something along those lines, if you're really concerned.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I think in just a little conversation, you can get a feel for if somebody knows what they're talking about or not, and you know, how they answer questions, how they bring mm-hmm. you information before you even have to ask the question, all that good stuff.
Well, and they have to relate to your business. And I think that's where the barrier was with me and the young girl, because my business is called Today May Suck. So if you hashtag that, you get a lot of emotional teenagers, and that's not what the business is at all. So she truly was trying. It was just not going in the right. Yeah, I didn't need any more gothic girls following me. But I could see where if you hashtag that's what you're going to get. So it was definitely a learning curve, I think, for both of us.
Yeah, and, you know, I would say from the responsibility of also the person doing the hiring, like, I'm the same as you, Aubrey. I will hire someone, and I'll assume that they know what they are doing, and they are going to do it professionally. And there was one time I had hired someone to take on the Lose the Cape Facebook postings, because I just didn't have enough time to keep up with that Facebook page. And I went to check on something one day, and there hadn't been a darn thing posted in 2 weeks. And I was like, what's happening here? So yeah, you gotta check in as well, I guess. And yeah,
I think that's something people need to remember, is when you hire a social media person, it's not just like hire and forget about them. Right. You still need to check in. If there's promos, you gotta send them things.
Right.
It's, while we're still taking it off your plate, we do need to have an open communication, just so that we're making sure we're getting the right message across.
Absolutely. So as you've been growing your business with two young children, what have you found to be some of the biggest struggles in your daily juggle?
I think the biggest struggle is time management. How do you fit everything into one day? I mean, it's right here. It's like almost 9:30 and I'm like, I have like 500 things to do before 3 o'clock. How is that even going to happen? And then my son is homesick. So it's like,
oh gosh,
how do I fit everything in? But yeah, the biggest struggle is time management. I have learned to set office hours, kind of. You know, I try to do the bulk of my work between 9 and 3 when they are gone. And then that way, when they are home, I am more present. But even still, when they go to bed, I find myself working for 3 or 4 hours at bedtime. It's just finding that balance, trying not to work on the weekend. But, you know, sometimes it happens. So I think the biggest struggle is time management. And it always will be the biggest struggle, just because when you own your own business, it's more of a lifestyle than it is a job. It just becomes who you are and part of your lifestyle. And, you know, it's, we went to Disney World over the summer and I still worked every day when we were there. It's just something that you have to do.
Yeah.
I love that, that it's your, I mean, it's your lifestyle. It's, that's your life. I mean, it's, yeah, I try to now take off on Mondays to get my home life stuff done, because you do, you set these hours and people think you're home. And I'm like, but if I was at a job, the dishes wouldn't have been washed between 9 and 3. So right. Let's just pretend. Not even pretend, because I am at my job.
Yeah, we're not pretending. This is not,
we're not
a thrill.
Pretending. I'm just going to pretend to work today. But sometimes that would be easy. If you had a 9 to 5, you could just go pretend sometimes.
Well, I have to tell you, that was the biggest struggle that my my separated husband and I went through. I don't know. He's not my ex-husband, but I don't really, you know, I don't know. Like same thing. I'm at home. So he just assumed that I could manage the entire home and everything that happens here while trying to grow a business. And I was like, it ain't going to happen, buddy. It ain't happening. So yeah, it is hard. So do you have any tools that you use to help you manage your time better, or things that maybe automation systems or anything like that, that help you so that you can try and take a breather?
I use, you know, the only thing I really use is I have a Google Calendar that I use all the time. And then I have like the whiteboard calendars like all over my house, just to kind of figure out like what we're doing each day. And you know, it's very, I don't want to say like strict schedule around here, but like, it's very routine. Like they know what they're doing every day, what time breakfast is, what time dinner is. You know, we do our grocery shopping while my daughter's at Girl Guides. Like everything is like the same every day. So, everyone knows kind of what to expect. I find it easier that way, just because then I know my core hours. I know when we have to be somewhere. I know maybe if we have a couple hours of downtime, if I can sneak in an email or two. So everything's very scheduled. Very routine. I rely on routines in order to make it work. Otherwise, I don't even know what I would do.
Yeah, I hear you.
I don't know how the school, do y'all have year-round school, or will your kids be out for the summer?
They'll be out in the summer.
The girls are counting down the days till summer. And I'm like, how am I going to make this work now with both of them being back home?
And that is my biggest, last summer was hard. I did a lot of like week-long camps, or like preschool camp or anything that I could get them in. I relied on my mom to watch them 1 or 2 days a week, or my in-laws. Yeah, anything, play dates. It's hard. It's a lot harder in the summer, but
I switched up my schedule and went to a third shift, I guess I would say. Like I would stay up late to work, because I knew that in the morning, mine are finally old enough. I mean, the youngest is 5 now, so they're old enough. They can get up, they can fix themselves, get them something to eat. Usually if I'm not monitoring, it might be ice cream, but you know, they fed themselves. They can turn on the TV and entertain themselves for a little while. Plus they tend to sleep in a little bit later too. So I would just work later and then sleep in a little bit longer and then try to spend a couple hours doing something with them, because camps are super, super expensive. I don't know how it is up there, but man, I sent them to one camp and it cost almost $500 for the 3 of them to go. So yeah, but it was an all day camp. So you better believe I was hustling that week.
Nice hustle.
Yeah. But I tried to scale my business back, which I will not be able to do this summer. So I tried to scale it back so I wasn't working as much, but Yeah, summer's tough.
It's tough.
Thanks for that advice for my first summer.
Yeah. You can make it work.
Yeah.
And, you know, well, in Texas, you've got the same issue as we do in South Carolina. The afternoons are so freaking hot that we would do activities in the morning. And then in the afternoons, I would put them in front of a movie, quite honestly, because it was too hot to go outside anyway. So get a couple hours while they were watching a movie and I could work during that time frame, which if you're organized, you can get a lot done in 2 hours.
Oh gosh, you just, if you're organized.
Yeah, I know. I struggle with that too. Y'all, I am laughing. I'm sorry. You know, even though I turned off my Facebook, I can still see the notifications show up on my computer. And one of my clients has literally sent me about 300 voice messages.
Oh my goodness.
I'm like, holy moly, what is happening over here? Okay, sorry. I'm just getting really distracted by that.
Every
50 seconds, another one pops up.
Like, oh, and their voice. So yes. It's like.
Okay. All right. So do you ever find any time to take time for yourself?
The short answer, no. It's very hard. My husband works 3:30 to midnight. So he's not here at night.
He's a real third shifter.
He's gone. And then my kids are gone all day. So, you know, I'm working all day when they're gone. And then when they come home, it's just me. He's not here. Yeah. So call me all the time. You know, if I'm lucky, I'll get some time on the weekend, but very, very rarely. I speak at conferences. So when I do go to conferences, I usually tack on like an extra night.
Good for you.
a day exploring and do something for myself. But that's probably the only time, unless I get a babysitter.
I did the same thing. I went to San Diego for a conference that was on Friday and Saturday, and I went out on Tuesday. It was amazing. It was amazing. Yeah. Oh, great.
That's awesome. I don't have any time. I'm just like wondering. I haven't even got to go to any conferences, but I do leave about 30 minutes early to pick up my girls just to sit that extra 30 minutes in my car. Like I'm the first one in the pickup line. Just to, did yours will come out. Do you want to get the girls? No, I'm good. Just let me sit here.
Now I understand why there's people in the pickup line.
Yes, 30 minutes. They leave early. And I'm usually fifth or sixth person in line, but we have a small town, so that's way down the line. But I just sit in my car and like nothing. That's usually, or I'll check my personal Facebook and message my actual in real life friends or something like that. But so I have to leave early just to go get my kids, to get some me time.
Quiet time.
Yes.
It's not a bad idea. So, before we wrap this up, I was wondering if you would be willing to give, for those who are new to their business or maybe aren't ready yet to hire someone to help them run their social media, do you have just a couple of tips that can help us, grow our Facebook pages without having to spend a crap ton of money on boosting posts and all of that?
I think the biggest one is to be consistent. If you say you're going to post 3 times a week, make sure you're posting those 3 times a week because people, when you start doing it regularly, they rely on that. That's what they look forward to. So being consistent is huge. There's so many people who do such a great job in the beginning and then they just kind of forget about it and it's like 2 months since their last post and then people think their business is closed. So I think just being consistent is the huge thing about social media. And always remember to be social. Social media is about engaging with other people, talking with other people, sharing other people's work. It's not just about self-promotion and promoting yourself. So I think remember to be social. Once you start interacting with other people, you know, they'll start interacting back and that's how you're going to grow. That's how you're going to reach new people. That's how you're going to get referrals. So being social and being consistent are big things for social media.
Okay. One last, do you have a favorite social media platform for yourself?
Right now, I think my favorite is Instagram, I think. I really love Pinterest, but I find that it's like a dark hole. You start going on there and then you can just get lost really fast. but I think my favorite would have to be Instagram right now.
Instagram.
Cool. All right. So where can people find you?
You can find me on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Pinterest, Google Plus. Everything is at Piper Media CA.
And that's P-I-P-E-R Media?
Yes.
All right. Great. Thank you so much. We appreciate you being with us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Have a good day.
You too.
So much for joining us today. You can find all of the show notes and all of the links that we mentioned in Erin's interview at losethecape.com/podcast/74. Have a great day.